Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
Welcome to 2021. Welcome to another Screen Verdict podcast. Matt, I'm excited for a new year, and I'm excited to get back on a podcasting schedule with you, my friend.
Yes, 2020, we probably didn't do as many podcasts as we would have liked, but I don't think with everything that was going on, people have much time for podcasts this year.
Yeah, 2020, one of the worst years all around. Definitely one of the worst years for the Screen Verdict podcasting numbers. So that's definitely going to be one of my 2021 resolutions. Should we put a number on it? Should we try and hold ourselves accountable? So do you reckon 20 podcasts, 21 podcasts for 2021?
I'd love that. I'm all about that.
Yeah, all right. Lock it in,
that's
Eddie.
One a month.
for a self-described, I'm pretty sure on our iTunes and Facebook page, as a self-described weekly podcast, don't know how much we should pat ourselves on the back for doing more than one a month, but there you go, that's the goal.
21 for 21, that's great, a great aspiration. I think we'll get there. And I can't remember what I was going to finish the sentence with. I was ramping up to something.
We're rusty, Matt. We're rusty. Not enough podcasts. Well, we'll get better as the episode goes on. But a podcast, a film, a movie that's not very, I was going to say very dear to my heart. It's not quite near and dear to my heart. But it is about 2 hours from my home in Santa Monica, Palm Springs. Not just the location, it's a movie. We're going to be podcasting on Palm Springs today, Matt.
Have you been to Palm Springs?
I have been to Palm Springs. I feel like anytime you post like a picture or you say something, you have to like give the disclaimer like, oh, but it was pre-COVID. Trust me, I'm being very safe. I'm taking everything seriously. But yes, pre-COVID, Bonnie and I have been to Palm Springs. When my parents visited, we went to Palm Springs, played golf there. Yeah, beautiful, nice and hot, nice place to relax, go do the spa thing, go see the mountains, do a horseback ride, play some golf. So yes, I was interested to see how closely Andy Samberg's experience would replicate mine.
A nice place to spend a day.
Indeed. So Matt cleverly brought up that we need to give a bit of a warning. I think this is the first type of warning that we've done before. Matt, do you want to explain this not quite spoiler warning that we're going to give?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about spoilers from the movie. If we do, don't worry, there'll be a spoiler warning before we do. However, we are going to give a bit of a premise warning. We're going to be talking about the premise of the movie. The premise of the movie is in the trailer. However, I think it would, if you haven't seen the movie, if you haven't seen the trailer, if you don't know the premise, it could be fun to watch this movie without knowing the premise.
Yes, had seen the trailer, hadn't you, Matt?
Yes, I'd seen the trailer. So it wasn't, and if anyone's seen the trailer for the Palm Springs, you don't need to worry.
I had not seen the trailer. I just brought it up on Hulu. I saw the image. I saw Andy Samberg. Bonnie said, hey, my friend's in this movie. Turns out she's not in the movie. It was someone else. But anyway, that's why we picked it.
Is Bonnie friends of Andy Samberg? Or Kristen Milotti?
I think Kristen Milotti looks like an actor friend of Bonnie's.
Just Bonnie and J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, just something that I've never brought up on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Bonnie is friends with J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
So I did not know the premise. So for me, it was a very interesting reveal about 10 minutes in. So we're not going to spoil the movie, but we're going to spoil the premise, which it gets revealed around 10 minutes in. So should we do a premise alert, Matt?
Yeah.
On three. One, two, three. Premise alert! Premise alert! Woo, 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 woo.
Oh, I did a different noise because I was like, to be not as loud.
Yeah, that's why you're a better improviser than me, Matt. Okay, so the premise of the film. I love the premise of the film. I think this is great. It's basically Groundhog Day, but rather than just one person experiencing it like Bill Murray, anyone that walks into this cave gets pulled into this kind of 24-hour time loop as well.
Mm.
So Andy Samberg is at a wedding in Palm Springs. He's living it over and over again, and then other people get pulled in, and so we get to see how different people react to this 24-hour time loop. Am I missing anything, Matt?
No, that's pretty much it. And they all have memories of the, oh, well, I guess that makes sense. Like, that's sort of a lot of Groundhog Day. But it means they can interact with each other and they sort of are aware of the premise of the movie too.
Yes.
But I guess most people in the movie are not aware of the premise of the movie either.
Yes. So it's a fun setup. It's kind of like a fun reveal as you're like, why is this guy so casual at this wedding? Why is he how does he know things that you would seemingly not know without having relived this day over and over again? I like the reveal. And it's like it's a fun twist on like an old idea.
Yes.
Now, how do you think you would react to this, Matt? Do you think once you've kind of figured it out, obviously you'd probably be like freaking out at first, but once you figure out what's going on, would your goal just be to end it all? Would you be happy with it? You'd be like, oh, this is a great opportunity just to make the most out of every day and I know what's going to happen and I can live it out to the max. Would your plan be to solve it, to somehow break the time loop? How do you feel like you would react in this crazy situation?
I think the movie does a good job of portraying that there would be a whole number of different reactions you would have over the course of the loop and repeat. So it'd probably be a bit of a roller coaster, I'm guessing. It would maybe also depend on like how well I got on with the people that were in the immediate vicinity as well and stuff.
I like this is some sort of kind of philosophical questions come up. I like the fact that some things are still real. For example, like as Andy Samberg says in the film, it's like, you can't kill yourself. You just wake up the next day, but pain is still real. If you don't properly kill yourself, you'll still be in pain. And you might think that things don't matter because things just reset the next day, but it's real to those people that you might go back, but they might live on. So I can't just hurt other people. I just can't kill people because even though there's no consequences in my timeline, there might be consequences for those people in their timeline. So that's kind of heavy. You might be – you're affecting things over thousands of timelines.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. But I think I'd at least try to have fun with it, right?
Yes, there's some great scenes in the film where they are having fun, where it's just doing outrageous things at the wedding, or I like the dance routine that they did at the biker bar. Things that you can do that are like low stakes. You're not worried about ever looking silly or something going wrong. It's like, because you can just enjoy it as much in the moment, and as if it fails, well, guess what? You can try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
How tempted do you think you would be to do something bad? Like, you know, I know you're not going to – I think I know you pretty well, Matt, after 200 and – I think this is number 241. Anyway, we'll figure it out. As well as just like being friends for 20 years. But through podcasting, I think I know you pretty well. I don't think you're going to kill anyone. But would you be tempted to like steal? Like do something a bit naughty?
Yeah, I guess it like does how naughty, doesn't it? But there are the only things I would do that I probably wouldn't do without the time loop parameters. I'm trying to think what I would steal, because I probably would steal some things, but I don't know. I don't most actually likely to steal like something of high value than low value.
You'd be more likely to steal something of high value. What do you want to steal, Matt?
Well, I don't know. Like, obviously, you couldn't in Palm Springs, but something like, you know, see if you can pull off a great heist, like the Mona Lisa or something like that. Because do you really need to steal a candy bar, like, in this scenario? I should put some money for the day anyway, like, you know, like.
I think in a world where you live in an infinite time loop, the thrill of stealing a candy bar is going to seem rather low stakes. But you're right. You don't have enough time to get to the Louvre, do you? By the time you get to LAX, you purchase a last-minute plane ticket. There's just not going to be... Well, I don't know. Maybe you could. How long does it take to get to France?
You definitely don't have time to recruit and train a Ocean's 11 style team to pull off the heist.
You'd be multitasking. You'd probably be like trying to recruit the Uber on the way to the airport. Yeah. Whoever's sitting next to you in 14C, you're like, all right, I know you're just going to France on a business trip, but how about we steal the Mona Lisa? Maybe you could get really good at finding those kinds of people, like on the dark web or something, and you can only reach out to them once each day. So it's the initial contact each time, but each time you learn something more about them and you say, hey, you're not going to believe this, but I've spoken to you hundreds of times because I'm in this time loop. Here's millions of things that you've told me that there's no way I could possibly know unless this insane story I'm telling you is true. And through this, I've recruited you to help me steal the Louvre. Are you in?
Yeah.
That could maybe work.
Yeah. What would you do bad things?
Would I do bad things? Stealing the Mona Lisa's pretty up there. I don't know. Look, if you've lived the same day thousands of times, I think, like, your perception of things would start to get pretty warped. I mean, like, would I steal, like, a Ferrari and go for a joyride? Like, probably eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely wouldn't want to do anything that I felt would, like, affect a person. Just corporations. Like an insurance scam or something.
Break into the insurance headquarters and steal their documents or whatever they keep in insurance centers.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not sure how you like scam an insurance company, like file a faulty claim and then like 9 months later, like get the payout. I need something with like a less than a 24-hour turnaround.
Well, I guess you'd want to do something that like other people would get the money for, wouldn't you? Like, you know, so that if that timeline continues on, they get the big payout in the 5 months or whatever.
Yes.
Arrested for being part of the faulty claim.
You'd feel bad about that if it had implications for those people down the line. That would trip you out not knowing whether your actions really did have consequences. Like, is everybody in this time loop, or just as every time, you know, I fall asleep, I create a new timeline and there's all these other timelines living with the consequences of my actions?
Yes. Where am I in the timelines too? Like, am I doing stuff, or is everyone just like, oh, that's weird, Matt disappeared?
Yeah, imagine if in every timeline, every time I go to sleep, a new timeline is created where I wake up in the morning yesterday, but that me, the other me, lives on. Like every single day, a me that's lived 999 times in this finally gets out of it, and one of me goes back. And then the me that lives has done that day 1,000 times goes on, and then I go back. And then 1,001 times they go on, and then I go back. To however we follow Andy Samberg in the movie, he's always waking up. But what a crazy movie that would be, where you're like, oh my God, I've lived this life. I've lived this day 1,002 times in a row. I've started doing crazy stuff because I thought nothing would, I was never going to get out of it and nothing would have consequences. And then just today, for no apparent reason, I now have to live with the consequences of everything that I did yesterday because all of a sudden I'm out of the time loop.
Yeah. Which I think would, like, that fear for me, after a while you would just start being a bit more lax with it, but that would put a little bit of fear in my, like, heart and would probably stop me from doing anything that was too, like, maybe, for instance, trying to steal the Mona Lisa, anything that would bear too many consequences for me if I...
Yeah, that would be, like, a weird sort of concept of purgatory, like it's a test. Like if you can get to a certain amount of days without doing anything wrong, you get let go. But if you do something really bad, we're going to let you out of it. And that's your own personal hell for you failing to pass the test. It's like the day you do something really bad, that's the day you get out of the time loop.
Yeah. Boy, it's trippy, eh? Like, so part of the movie is that Andy Samberg, this girl also gets brought into it, Sarah. Andy Samberg is Niles in the film, and Kristen Milioti plays Sarah. And Sarah gets brought into the time loop too. Now, this isn't really much of a spoiler. Andy tells her not to follow him in. We don't have the whole, I don't know, what is it, like passengers ethical dilemma type situation where he's chosen to bring someone into this like problem just so he's got company. He says, no, don't come in.
I feel like Andy Samberg is partially to blame because it's not like he just got lonely and tricked her into coming in and was like, hey, I know I've kind of put you in this kind of purgatory like time loop against your will. I was just lonely. It's not that bad, but I feel like him saying, hey, don't follow me in here, when what was going on was rather peculiar, would have probably piqued most people's interest, was probably not enough. Considering the stakes, I don't think he did enough to deter her from entering the cave. I know he was in pain and he's like, I just want to get into the cave so I can be reset. But I think you're morally obligated to kind of just live with that pain temporarily until you either die or fall asleep and you just wake up at the start of the day again in order to prevent her from coming in.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Why did he even go in the cave at that point? Like, I didn't think about it because the first time we'd seen that happen, I was questioning it a bit less. But in hindsight, yeah. And also, like, was he taking this girl, Sarah, like dangerously too close to the portal in date?
Uh-huh.
Like, was he tempting fate a little?
Yes, like, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a bit more responsible than I gave him credit for.
Like, imagine you're on a date and you're like, where can we hang out around my house? It's like, well, we have the bedroom, we have the living room, we have the kitchen. In the front yard, there's a nice patio with some swings. In the backyard, there's an orange tree. Next to the orange tree is a pit of quicksand. But we won't go in the quicksand. I'm going to pick the backyard, but we probably won't fall in the quicksand. It's not necessarily your fault she fell in the quicksand, but why did you choose to have the date right next to the quicksand?
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you about the quicksand.
Yeah, it's very well covered up. Yeah.
You can barely see it.
Yeah, I think, you know, the more we hash this out, I feel like it, rather reckless, more and more reckless in retrospect.
Yeah. Now, should she have got, like, I know it piques your curiosity, but do you go in if you see this giant glowing thing and a guy screaming, you don't come in here? Really? Like, I'm going, oh, no, I don't know what this is. Like...
Yeah. No, that's a good point, too, because that was a pretty freaky, scary cave. If I was in that cave, like, some guy that I'm with has just got shot in the leg with a bow and arrow. So this is, like, already a dangerous situation. He's crawled into a cave, a bit weird, screaming, don't come in the cave. That seems like a sign. And then there's this glowing red light or whatever it was inside the cave. I think of all the actions that I would choose to do, walking into the glowing light is probably at the bottom.
Yeah. Maybe they both deserve to be in the...
What Matt's saying is that there's a reason why they're both in the time loop.
Yeah. Some bad choices have been made by both of these characters. Now, if you were in the time loop, Jonathan...
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to bring it could be a romantic interest, could just be a mate. Do you want to bring someone into the time loop with you?
That is a good question. So let's say, because it's tough because you don't know how the time loop works. So let's say there's Bonnie and me. We are married. I somehow end up in... It's inevitable that I'm going into the time loop for whatever reason. Do I want Bonnie to come with me? It's like, well, let's say if I go into the time loop, I'm stuck there on my own. And in Bonnie's timeline, I disappear. Well, I don't really know if I can make that decision for Bonnie to put her in like this infinite time loop. But maybe she would want to come with me. Rather than me not exist at all. But let's say I just branch off into my own timeline and Bonnie just exists happily with another version of me. She would probably rather live with the other version of me in a regular life than get stuck in the time loop with me.
Yes.
So pulling, if that's the scenario, pulling her in is rather selfish. And I don't know which of the two it's going to be. So in terms of a moral standpoint, probably not great to bring another person into the time loop, but being in the time loop on your own or with someone else, definitely with someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and you can't really give them the choice, can you? Because there's no way they'd believe you. Like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm just going to walk in the cage, end up in an infinite time loop. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, like, you know Bonnie better than me, but she is a very honest, trustworthy, reliable person, right? Like,
yes.
But if she came in and told you tonight, hey, I'm stuck in an infinite time loop, come into this cave, you can power the time loop with me, I think you would be to some degree skeptical.
This is an interesting one because I am quite a logical person. I'm quite a reasonable person. I'm sort of a facts and science type person. So if someone comes to me with sort of this, you know, something that maybe seems a bit crazy or woo-woo, sometimes I'm quite quick to dismiss it. I'm thinking, what's the joke here? What's the nonsense here? Have you bumped your head? Where's this drivel coming from? But I do also like sci-fi, and I'm quite interested in quantum mechanics. Things like the many worlds interpretation is very interesting to me. So it depends on what kind of thing that you come to me with. Like if you're like, Jonathan, I found a dragon. I'm like, there's no such thing as dragons. But if you're like, Jonathan, I've like discovered the portal to the multiverse. I'd be like, that's possible.
Interesting.
So on the scale, that this is perhaps one of the more believable crazy things you could pitch to me.
Okay. See, I would, for me, I think there'd be a risk of me walking into the cave and getting trapped, but also a saving grace. And I think the risk would be that I would go, oh, just shut up about that. I'll walk in the cave, then we'll see that, like, yes, of course, like, okay, this will shut you up. I'll walk into the cave and then we'll wake up tomorrow morning. We'll then walk out of the cave and realize that now it needs to be someone I trusted so that it wasn't like, you know, if some mobster came up to me and said, walk into a cave because there's a time loop, I'd be like, nah, he's trying to kill me. Like, my saving grace would be that I go, I'm not going to do this because there's obviously something. I'm going to walk into this cave. A bucket of slime's going to tip out on me or so, like, this is some prank. There's going to be some viral video of me walking into a cave like an idiot, like, oh, this guy thought there was a time loop or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, this is going to come back on me. This is some master prank that my friends have organized and I would probably not do it.
Your thought process is, what's the upside? Of all the different things that could happen, how many of those outcomes result in me saying, man, I'm sure I'm glad I walked into the cave?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Because, yeah, there's the temptation to be like the kid saying, there's a monster in the closet. And you're like, I don't want to have to get up and deal with this, but fine, I'll walk into the closet just to show that there's no monster in the closet.
Yeah.
But then you think about it, you're like, well, even if I do that, what's really the upside? Because if anything other than that happens, there's probably all bad outcomes for me walking into the cave.
The kids set up a pie catapult in the closet. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a question. If you were to get stuck in a time loop, a 24-hour period,
yeah,
what 24-hour period would you choose? Because I think Andy Samberg has got put in a decent one. He's in a vacation destination. It's not his wedding, but it's our wedding. So there's at least some good food and drink there, some nice weather. There's things for him to do. There's worse days that he could be stuck in. If you were to pick a day to get stuck in, can you think of one?
Do you have an answer? If you've got an answer, you can lead because I'm thinking.
So I have semi-jokingly said that the two best days of my life were the day that I got married and the day that Optic Gaming won the Call of Duty Championships. So this is top two, right? This is what I'm choosing between, all right? Optic winning champs was pretty good, okay? Big fan. We were the number one seed going into multiple Call of Duty championships that we didn't win. And therefore, when we finally did win, massive monkey off the back. It made it all the more exciting, rewarding. One of the biggest celebrations I've ever been a part of. The thing about sports is, though, they're much less exciting when you know the outcome.
Yes.
Getting married, hopefully you do already know the outcome. It should be I do and I do. So spoiling the outcome of a wedding is not a downside like it is sports or esports. So I think of the two, although they're both very good, if I had to relive one over and over and over again in a time loop, probably my wedding day.
Could I challenge that as maybe not the best choice? Could I give you a few reasons why I'd like to have you reconsider?
Please do.
Is the problem when it's your wedding, like, you sort of, there's less freedom for you to do what you want. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, because Bonnie calls all the shots, I'm saying it'd be the same for her. Like, that you've sort of got a very central role. Like, you've got to end the day with saying, I do. You can't just decide, like, well, maybe you could. Like, I'm not telling you what you can and can't do, but, like, you can't really go, oh, I'm going to do a bit of a road trip down here this day. Like, you know, there's a lot of expectations on you, and you're very much the focus, so you can't go rogue as much.
Look, this is a very good point, because Andy Samberg, if he wants to show up in his Hawaiian shirt and give kind of a goofy speech, people will go, that's weird, he's not really taking this wedding that seriously, but I'll allow it. That can pass as a bit of a side story, a bit of eccentricity as part of the wedding, if you will. Can't really do that as the groom. That's not really okay as the person getting married. Not only do you have to show up, you can't really just go rogue. You can't really try and rob the Louvre of the Mona Lisa on your wedding day. So not only are you expected to show up, there's a certain level of behavior that is expected as well.
Like, could I throw out maybe another suggestion for you? And I don't know the day, but was there a day where you just had a really nice date with Bonnie? And you had a really nice time with her? Besides, the more simple days that are good to repeat. Maybe. With some friends in the afternoons or Bonnie in the evening?
So, good question. Well, a vacation's a good choice because you're like, man,
yeah.
I spent like, this was like $1,000 and we only got to stay for this many nights. It's like, well, hey, guess what? That $1,000 payment got you infinite number of nights. That's a great rate of return on that investment. So maybe a vacation destination with like a lot of stuff to do. Because like, you know how when you go on vacation, you're like, I want to do the hike. I want to do the bike ride. I want to do the zip line. I want to do the diving. But then you're like, I also just want to chill out a bit. And you don't do all the things that you wanted to do. Well, now you're in an infinite time loop. You could pick a different activity every day.
Yeah. I think I would pick a day. And I don't have a day in my head. A day when I was in Sydney, I was hanging out with friends, and we were friends, a time when you were living in Sydney, a time when my friend Will and Chris were living in Sydney, like just a time when I had optimal options of people to hang out with that I'm friends with.
Is this in a world where you have your current mind and you're going back to that day, or is this... in the timeline where you've just gotten up to this day? Because right now, that probably holds a lot of value. You're like, ah, oh, I miss some of my friends that have moved, and wouldn't it be great to get the gang back together? Yeah, I'd really cherish it. I wouldn't take it for granted. But if this is just you in that timeline, to let's say you were 25, if we're going back however many years, are you just going to be like, eh, this is just any other day. What did I have to get stuck in this day for?
Yeah, possibly. So that's why I'd probably need to pick a day. Yes, it would need to be a day that I had a good day with all those, like with friends and stuff. And it would probably be like, I went to the Emmys a couple of years ago. It'd probably need to be like not a time right before I was about to do that, because that'd be really frustrating. Just possibly that close to like, oh, I never get to go there. Like,
that's funny.
Which I think like that would be the nightmare for you too, like a couple of days before your wedding or a month before the wedding or something.
Yeah, Optics made the grand finals. They're playing tomorrow, but I never get to find out whether they finally win finals.
Yeah, like I think that if it's the date with Bonnie sort of thing, it probably needs to be early-ish in your relationship, to be honest, because otherwise you'll be too disappointed that you don't get to the wedding day.
Mm. That's true. I think...
I guess a day after your wedding day, a nice day you had with Bonnie and friends and stuff.
Yes.
Maybe the day I arrived to LA or something, and you had to pick me up from the airport.
I like how your suggestion for me that the best day that I could possibly choose to want to relive and experience over and over and over again is a day where I have to drive through LA traffic to the airport to pick someone up from the airport.
I imagine there was a lot of excitement and anticipation and, like, exuberance, though. Like, just go back to the moment of seeing me for the first time, getting out of that or waiting on the side of the road. Like.
But, Jonathan, how good was the relief when after 20 minutes of waiting to turn right onto World Way, you finally got on there and you were heading up to the terminals? Wouldn't you like to experience that relief? Mate, it would take like 3 repetitions for me just to never pick you up. By day 4, I'm just texting you like, oh. catch me at the Museum of Contemporary Art. Book yourself a taxi. I've got a crazy idea to pitch you when you get there.
We've left the key under the mat. Me and Bonnie are at Palm Springs. Do whatever you want in the place. Feel free to trash the joints.
Oh, man. I think a good one for you would be a night that you went to the Emmys. Now, I know that I said that sports would be spoiled because you know the outcome. And I'm not saying this for the Emmys because you'd know who wins every night. I'm saying it for the after party. Because this is the one time where you've gotten into these like Hollywood level parties and you could just go like nuts. Like every night you could just like run up to like Brad Pitt and like get arrested by security pretty quickly. But you'd get to like interact with like crazy celebrities and parties every day.
This is interesting. Yeah. I can see this. Now, I initially ruled that out because I was like, I actually want to, like, at the end of the day, as cool as these celebrities and stuff are, like, I want to spend time with people like yourself, people like
that. Oh, don't tell us they're just people.
Yeah. Like, I want to actually spend time with the people I care about. But you are right, actually. The Emmys would be a cool one because, like, I am in this party, this, you know, with all these celebrities around, and you could just, like, really just, like, to be able to redo that, like, you could see different celebrities, like, because there's so many people that you don't see and stuff. You could try interrupting. You could try to, like, become good mates with one of them. Like, obviously, you couldn't continue that friendship, but you could, like, really just be a lot more confident.
Yeah, no one's continuing these Hollywood friendships beyond that evening anyway, so.
I could even try to, like, ask some famous people out and just see what happens.
Yeah, I think, given many thousands of attempts, like, you could totally hook up with Amy Adams. Like, it would happen eventually. Like, just through sheer mathematical probability, the numbers are on your side, Matt.
Yeah. I'm not sure if she was at any of those parties, but, like, yeah. But...
Yeah, like you're looking around and like after a while you're like, ah, I don't know, man. It's just kind of like Tony Hale and Ken Jeong. And I'm like, I'm a big fan, but like where's Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah. Like, I don't think I'd be trying to find, like, I think is Amy Adams married, so I'd be looking for like some single like people. I think.
Yeah. Well, you could work your way up. Start with some like TikTok influencer or something, and then a couple of lifetimes later in the time loop, you could work your way up to Meryl Streep or something.
Yeah. So that could be a lot of fun, actually. And I think, like, were you in LA at the time? Like, I could one night blow it off and hang out with you?
Oh, I'm sure given enough time, you could find a way to get me into one of these parties.
Oh, yeah, good point, actually.
All right, yeah. Yeah, the time loop doesn't sound so bad if you get to pick the day.
Yeah. What about when you, I was thinking that bringing the friend in, I guess because of morally we can't, but we'd like to.
I mean, it depends what, the other person's life is like. If you're like, look, I guarantee Jonathan would like this time loop thing more than his own life. I'm sure you've got hopes and dreams and stuff, but there's no way that's better than an Emmy party. I'm just pulling Jonathan into the cave.
Yeah, it'd be so funny. Like, so you come in to see me that morning, and you're like, what the F have you done? And I'm like, you're welcome.
You're like, yeah, you might kill me like the first like 100 days that you wake up here, but eventually you'll be glad I pulled you into the time loop.
Yeah. So I think really ideally, like, I don't know if this is ideal, you want to get a crew, I think, not just one other. If you get enough people in the time loop, it becomes a thing. Like.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Imagine if you bring in enough people to where, I mean, I guess I don't know what level of infrastructure you would need because it only lasts 24 hours, but imagine if it was big enough to the point where essentially you've created like a society.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many people in this time loop, we need to figure out our own form of government or whatever, like a system for how we as a collective 1,000 people are going to live in this type of existence.
Yes.
What we're saying is, I think there's a lot of room for sequels. I didn't think Palm Springs needed a sequel, but now I think there's some rich soil in which to toll.
Yeah.
I don't think you toll soil. I don't think that's a word. I'm not a gardener. I'm a podcaster.
Now, this is unethical too. But, like, is there any way, like, so let's say I bring you into the time loop. You then rock up. And you're like, Matt, what the F have you done? And can you act a bit like, oh, sorry, what? Like, we're in the same day and stuff. You're like, what? No, surely not. This is the 13th. No, it's the 12th. It's the 12th. We're stuck in the day. I'm like, what? Hey, this is nuts. What have we done? Like,
Matt, you said follow me into the cave. Like, yeah, because it just looked fun. I didn't know what was going to happen.
You know, like exploring and hiking and like always checking stuff out. Like, I didn't know that, yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, and you'd probably be very good at acting at that point, right? You've had hundreds of attempts to be like, what? Me?
I've done all the master classes.
Yeah. No, yeah, you've taken the courses and gotten the in-person tips and tricks from the Emmy party. So you are absolutely nailing this, like, this is new information to me too, Jonathan.
You sort of do it so it sounds like it was Jonathan's idea to go into the cave. Like, what is it? Like, what have you done to me?
maybe that's part of this crazy time loop thing. Like, you think it, they've made you think it's my fault, and they've made me think it's your fault, and we'll never really know. We just kind of have to make the most of it, man.
Yeah. I think, like, I could take you past that cave enough times that on one time you would suggest we go in there.
Either just by chance, or you just set up like little traps. Like, for some reason the cave smells like fried chicken, and I'm drawn to it.
I've been out there this morning putting stuff in that cave to entice. I think the problem is,
like, look at that stack of sci-fi books in front of that cave. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Now, I don't think I could live with the lie. I think that would get to me. But
yeah, at some point you just confess because you're bored of having to keep the lie thousands of times.
I'm quite good at lying in deception games, right? Like, when you got these games that you play, like Mafia or like whatever, I'm quite good at lying in those. But, like, I know that the truth is going to come out at the end of the round.
Yes.
Like I can lie well when I know that I'm going to, like, be revealing the truth at a point.
Matt's really good at lying for 45 to 90 minutes.
Yeah. As long as I know that I'm then going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So I think I would not be able to live with the burden of just this. Because I would, like, if I went down that path, I would never be able to tell you the truth. And I think that would get to me.
It would be very tough to keep what is a very big lie for eternity.
Chris Pratt couldn't do it in Passengers.
I haven't seen Passengers.
Well, I thought we did a podcast on it.
on which timeline did that happen, Matt? What universe branch have we ended up on in which Matt has done a podcast with me on Passengers, and yet I have not done a podcast on Passengers with Matt?
I'm now Google searching Screen Verdict Passengers to see if there's any. How do we not do that? A Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt sci-fi movie.
I don't know. But apparently it gave you some very vivid dreams afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, this is the second time I've referenced Passengers in here. That's why I didn't laugh the first time I made the reference.
And as we all know, the key to having a successful joke that doesn't land the first time is to say it again.
I thought maybe you didn't hear me, maybe it was a bad connection.
Say it again and say it louder. No, I haven't seen Passengers or podcasted on it.
Oh.
Well, there you go. It's got 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. That might be why.
Didn't get great reviews.
Could have been a good podcast, though.
I'll semi-spoil it now, too, for you.
Wow.
So, can we just, for the record, if I get stuck in an infinite time loop, do you want me to bring you in with me?
Unless it's the most awesome time loop of all time, in which case you think not 99%, but 100% Jonathan would prefer this day than his own life, I think I'm going to have to turn it down.
That would be a big call for me to make. I think your life would have to get a lot more miserable between Alan, whatever that is, for me to you're confident enough to make that call.
It would have to be a very good time loop, and some very dark things would have had to happen for me between now and the day that you had to make that call.
Yeah, I'm probably the same.
Yeah. Like,
so maybe.
Yeah, so it's not just like a day that we went for, like, grilled cheeses and they were particularly tasty that day. That doesn't qualify.
Would be cool. The one good cool thing about being in a time loop is you're like, boy, like, not many people get to experience this.
That's true. You would be living a form of human existence that is entirely different to any other human existence of the billions, if not trillions, of people humans have experienced.
Do you know what I'd find very annoying?
No.
Not being able to, like, take photos and eat them to look back on the good times. I love having sort of little memories photographed.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's sweet Instagram. Would only get likes that day.
Yeah. It'd be annoying if you were on like 999 followers and every day you'd have to wake up just short of 1,000. That would be a sad existence, just trying to get Instagram
followers. I also need to clarify something. I feel like I'm just getting the impression that when I post something on Instagram, like, I'm just getting so many likes subsequent days. Like, I'm pretty sure I get all my likes on a post the day I post it, and then it is forgotten anyway. But I
like, yeah, every post of mine has like viral capability that is usually getting many impressions for weeks to come.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Matt.
What a rock.
Should we wrap up Palm Springs? This is a very fruitful premise. I feel like we've covered. I feel like the writers should maybe hit us up for the sequel. I feel like we've covered some pretty interesting stuff.
Or a reboot.
Yeah. yeah, it's called Palm Springs 2, but it's just a repeat of the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Matt, what's your review? Closing thoughts? What do we think of Palm Springs?
I really like this movie. I think Andy Samberg and Kristen Maloney are fantastic. I think they're really great performances. They're funny, but they're also, like, there's some depth and some emotion. And, like, I think they did a really good job of it being a comedy and there being levity, but also there being stakes to the film, and that you can see the weight of the time loop as well as the fun. I think it's a really good story. I think it looks good, the film. It works well. There's no faffing around with it. Like, I think it's a good length. I just think I think this is just one of those movies that works. Like, it just is a good premise, executed well, with some great performances grounding it. I think it's really good. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Solid. So if Matt was forced to watch this film over and over and over again, not the worst film he could be forced to watch forever.
Mm, yes. I'm going to say 8.5 out of 10.
Ooh. Well,
yeah. Why not?
I mean, that's not really keeping in line with our repetition of things being the same over and over and over again. But I guess in this timeline, we have free will. Matt's free to change his mind. 8.5. That's a strong.
But keeping with the theme of getting a chance to do things over. Like.
Yeah. Every time I go to start my review, Matt's just going to interrupt me and just give it another half a point.
Okay.
All right, Palm Springs. I really liked it too. I thought it was a wonderful premise, an interesting take on kind of an old idea, very funny moments, two great characters. I feel like people are kind of split on Andy Samberg. I don't know, is that a fair take? I feel like Andy Samberg comes up and people go, yeah, he's really funny, and then a lot of people are like, I don't really like Andy Samberg, which I never really get. Anyway, I like Andy Samberg. I think he's funny. Kristen Milotti hated her episode of Mythic Quest, but it's not her fault because she's great. I thought she was wonderful in that and wonderful in this too. And it did a good job of kind of posing questions and then answering them. in what was sort of a realistic but fun way. I thought the way they tried to explain how the thing worked was pretty basic. I don't know. I think you kind of have to chalk it up to it's just an idea and this is a silly comedy, or actually kind of make it a sci-fi movie and obviously not a real explanation, but at least some sort of theoretical quantum mechanic explanations, which I don't know. I think they poked at but didn't really dig deep into, but that's a very minor quibble. Yeah, pacing was pretty good. At the risk of making an unintentionally bad pun, it felt maybe a little repetitive about two-thirds of the way through. But I don't know. I'm kind of grasping at things to complain about. It's a fun movie. It was great. I liked his shirt. I liked his hat. I'd like to buy the shirt. Probably wouldn't be able to pull off the hat. But I might see if I can track down that shirt. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Very good. Be warned if you see Jonathan walking around in that shirt.
if Bonnie and me do like a vow renewal and I turn up wearing that shirt, it might be because I'm stuck in a time loop.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So that's a podcast. Oh, do we have any housekeeping, Jonathan?
Housekeeping. Very quickly, I gave my review of Mythic Quest without having seen the online Skype quarantine episode. And Matt said, because I liked it, but I didn't we don't need to recap the whole Mythic Quest review. Loved the first half, thought the second half was okay, hated one episode. And Matt was like, well, maybe watch the quarantine episode, the special, and see if that changes your opinion of the show. I went into the quarantine episode because Matt told me it was good. And I thought, in order for me to think that this is good, they cannot do the joke where someone is talking to someone else on Skype and it's freeze. Because that has been done in every TV show and every movie that has a scene on Skype since like 2005. How will we not pass this joke, guys? Yes, sometimes the connection lags and people get a bit stuttery on Skype. It was like the first joke they did.
Oh, no.
So, obviously not a great episode. Look, it was good. It was funny. I'd probably give the episode an 8. I think originally I gave the series like a 7.3 and rounded it up to a 7.5 because we only do half marks here at Screen Verdict. I think if you do the maths, that 8 is not going to bump it up any higher than the 7.5 I gave it originally. So I'm glad I watched it, but no, Matt, it did not change my opinion of the season.
Yeah. But I just thought it was weird that you'd sort of done the season review without having watched one of the more acclaimed episodes of the season.
You know why, Matt? Because I hate that damn Skype joke. I thought, this is a Skype episode. They're going to do that stuttering Skype joke, aren't they? I'm just going to skip it. And then you told me to watch it and they did it.
So what if they didn't have that joke, what would you have thought of that episode?
9.
Whoa, okay. So it was a good episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It wasn't as bad as you, because I think you were worried it was going to be like some special, some like, you know, like a half-assed thing.
Bonnie's trying to enter the room really sneakily for some reason.
Oh, hi, Bonnie.
She's just waving. She wants to be on Matt's video, but not on the recorded audio.
Hey, everybody.
Here we go. Special guest, Bonnie. Jonathan, so we're done with the podcast now, yes?
All right. Podcast over. I think it was a good return to 2021. One down, 20 to go, Matt.
And guys, remember to tune in for our next podcast, which I think will be Palm Springs.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Heard if it's a good one. It'll be spoiler-free. We might tell you the premise, but that's it. So,
and a lot of talk about what we might do in a time loop situation.
Yes, looking forward to it. And do we have housekeeping, Matt? Anything that we want to talk about?
No, nothing from me. No. Do you have anything? Do you ever catch up with that Mythic Quest quarantine?
The audience is loving this joke for sure. They're like, eh, this is like a half-hearted attempt to like just repeat the last 5 minutes of conversation. All right, guys, good podcast, good movie. Check it out. Stay tuned. What are we going to – there's so much stuff that we need to catch up on. Probably Pixar. We're probably going to do an Onward and or Soul coming up podcast, right?
And MTV Video Music Awards for last year, we missed doing our annual podcast for them. Don't worry, we'll get that covered.
Two cornerstones of the Screen Verdict. I was going to call this like a franchise. Well, I don't know what I was going to call this a franchise. Anyway, two cornerstones of Screen Verdict, Pixar and the MTV Video Music Awards. So excited for that. Let us know if there's anything you'd like us to review, any recent movies or TV shows. Just let us know. Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast, and we'll see if we can fit it into our what is shaping up to be a pretty busy 2021 schedule.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.